and welcome back to the 9th episode of the Nano Bookcast. And this Nano episode is about using a nano amount of words to have the most impact. We're talking poetry. And yes, now that I've said it, I do realize that I could have also meant short stories, but no, we're talking about the world of poetry, just like the episode's title says. Now, like most people, my first and probably only interaction for the longest time with poetry was nursery rhymes, right? Ring of Roses, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And that was true until I started studying poetry for my O-levels while I was preparing for the literature exam that I had to take. So I thought, what better way to start this episode than reading out my favorite poem in the entire world that I first encountered while I was studying for my O-levels. And the reason I'm going to read this one out is because it's, like I said, my most favorite. And it's also probably the one that's stuck with me the longest and the one that's resonated with me the most deeply. So ladies and gentlemen, this is Rising 5 by Norman Nicholson. I'm rising 5, he said, not 4. And the little coils of hair unclicked themselves upon his head. His spectacles, brimful of eyes to stare at me and at the meadow, reflected cones of light above his toffee buckled cheeks. He's been alive 56 months or perhaps a week more. Not 4, but rising 5. Around him in the field, the cells of spring bubbled and doubled. Buds unbuttoned, shoot and stem shook out the creases from their frills, and every tree was swilled with green. It was the season after blossoming, before the forming of the fruit. Not May, but rising June. And in the sky, the dust dissected the tangential light. Not day, but rising night. Not now, but rising soon. The new buds push the old leaves from the bough. We drop our youth behind us like a boy throwing away his toffee wrappers. We never see the flower, but only the fruit in the flower. Never the fruit, but only the rot in the fruit. We look for the marriage bed in the baby's cradle. We look for the grave in the bed. Not living, but rising dead. Again, that was Rising 5 by Norman Nicholson. This poem deals with a long-standing problem in society, right? It talks about the difficulty of trying to stay in the present moment. In this poem, the protagonist or the speaker encounters this little boy who insists that he's not 4 years old, but rising 5. You know, he's not 4, he's 4.5. And this leads the speaker to reflect on how everyone in society is always looking forward to what comes next, rather than fully immersing themselves in experiencing the life that sits right in front of them. And the poem's images of birth and decay really remind the reader that looking too far forward can mean that you're only seeing death, and that is your end goal. And so it really encourages us to think about the present moment that we're in, enjoying the season that we're in, or the moment, the big milestone we're currently enjoying, instead of thinking about the next one that we have to work towards. And with that, let's actually talk about some anthologies or poems that I think are worth reading. Now, I knew when I started this bookcast that I did want to talk about poetry. The reason it's taken me this long is because I had always been struggling with how to talk about it. I still have trouble understanding the imagery in poetry quite often. It's also such a vast area of literature. It's not really a genre, but a style of writing. And I'll be honest, I haven't read much poetry in my life. It's my yearly goal to try and do more in this space. But I feel like recommendations are always lagging, or I feel like I have to read it slowly, and so I just don't. So I wanted to just spend this time calling out the limited anthologies that I have read and talk about one that I'm excited about reading. They're in no order, so let's just go. Now, the first anthology is one that I've talked about on numerous occasions on this very bookcast. I think I've probably talked about it twice before at least. So let this be the third time I mention Sincerely by F.S. Yusuf. I don't need to say anything more than I have previously, right? It's a book that describes love exactly as I want to experience it. It's pure, unconditional, grounding love. A love where you're the most vulnerable with the other person, but one where you also lift the other person up when they're down or challenge them when they're getting too comfortable. Now, I originally read this as an ebook and I ordered a physical copy to add to my collection. And it's one I've gone back to quite often. So yeah, it's one I really enjoy. And if you live near me, let me know if you want to borrow my copy, as I'm happy to spread the love here. But if you're not near me, please go get your own copy, because I think you will actually really enjoy the absolute serenity and sweetness in this book. Now, the second anthology or set of work that I wanted to talk about is that of Rupi Kaur. Now, for any brown girl out there who wants to get into poetry but finds it incredibly overwhelming, hell, for anyone who wants to get into poetry, the works of Rupi Kaur are a great starting point. The poems are short, but cover a diverse range of topics from the female body to immigration. And listen, if anyone wants to give you hate for reading something so quote unquote simplistic, tell them to go listen to my previous episode, right? We're queens and kings of our own kingdom, and there is no space for haters in our kingdom. So you read what you want to read, how you want to read it, when you want to read it. And on the topic of kings and queens, why not talk about gods? No big deal, right? Makes sense as a transition. The first work I want to kind of touch upon is The Odyssey by Homer, who's the author. But I specifically want to talk about The Odyssey by Homer as translated by Emily Wilson. It's very important to understand that I'm only recommending Emily Wilson's translation here. There are multiple translations of Homer's epic work, The Odyssey, over the years, right? The idea is this very long poem follows the Greek hero Odysseus, who was king of Ithaca, on his journey home after the Trojan War. The reason I recommend Emily's translation is the way she translates the words and the descriptions that are attributed to the women in this poem. I have read both the male and Emily's translation of this poem, and it's definitely different, right? The way that she attributes or describes really powerful women in this poem, like Circe and Penelope, is very impactful as opposed to other male translations, which diminish their role in Odysseus's life. It gives due credit to the strength of the women in the poem, as opposed to portraying them as diminutive or aggressive. And if we want to really see the point through, you too can go read a male translation of The Odyssey and then compare it to Emily Wilson's translation. And the difference is night and day. Now, the second Greek work that I wanted to talk about is The Cure at Troy, a version of Sophocles' Philoctetes by Seamus Heaney. I'm going to say this again because I'm pretty sure I've butchered the pronunciation, but you can check the book's title in my notes. It's The Cure at Troy by Seamus Heaney. I think just searching for that will probably get you the book. I came across this work at the end of last year, so at the end of 2020, as he's quite often quoted by Joe Biden and was hence quite often quoted during the 2020 US elections. So I picked up this book to read. Now, disclaimer, I realized this after I picked it up. It's a play, not a poem, but it reads like a poem. So you know what, shrug. The poem does a really great job of advocating for the people who society casts aside because they're deemed less valuable, right? It could be homeless people, drug addicts, the elderly. And it does a really good job of creating an argument for why all lives, despite their usefulness to society, deserve the very simple act of having a dignified life. No wonder it was quoted by Joe Biden during his election, right? That's really the topic that was coming up. Do we want to treat people with dignity and hence vote Democrat, or do we want to just let society crumble and hence vote Republican? I'm not going to get into politics in this, but yes, I think The Cure at Troy by Seamus Heaney is definitely worth reading. While I'm talking about politics, it's also worth talking about The Hill We Climbed by Amanda Gorman. She is the youngest ever U.S. poet laureate, and she read at the most recent presidential inauguration, so President Joe Biden's inauguration. And she does this really beautiful and elegant job of capturing the American dream that we all aspire to, right? The goals that humanity deserves to live by. And there isn't much to say other than her words are incredibly powerful and really capture the moment in time when she was delivering this, when she was reading out her poem. And even more so than the actual words are her rendition or her reading them out. That actually being able to watch that experience was incredibly moving. So I would definitely recommend listening to the inauguration delivery of this poem and then reading the poem yourself. Coincidentally, the poem, that is The Hill We Climbed, is also part of Amanda Gorman's upcoming anthology, Call Us What We Carry. I think it gets released in December of 2021, and I would definitely recommend pre-ordering it. I'm actually excited to read it when it does come out. The next masterpiece I wanted to talk about is The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. It's a compilation of both prose and poetry, and this book is really targeted at giving advice to people regardless of what stage of life they are. You know, you could be starting off your life post-living with your parents, you could be looking at marriage, death, and it's not preachy and it's not religious. It's completely devoid of any dogma or religious content. It targets people regardless of whether you believe in a religion, whether you're completely agnostic. It has this really magical and soft quality such that the more you read it, the more you engage with this book, the more you come to understand the words with each reading and the more you associate and take away from this poem. And that's really a thread amongst all the books and the anthologies that I'm recommending. It's just that poetry may mean something to you the first time you read it, and it might take on different meanings each time you read the same passage. And that's really why I wanted to get into poetry. It's like the whole evolving nature about there are words written on a page, but the interpretation is so dependent on you as a person and how you engage with the words and how your experience shapes your interpretation of those words. Like, coming back to book recommendations. Now, until last year, I didn't even know that Margaret Atwood, who's an infamous author, actually wrote poetry. I thought she only wrote prose. And then I quickly learned that she's written a lot of poetry, but that she hasn't published an anthology in ages. And that she was coming out with Dearly late last year, I believe. So that's one of the anthologies I picked up from her, Dearly by Margaret Atwood. And it's, I think, her first collection in over a decade was what I was reading. And what she does is she discusses very similar themes to some of the previous poets here. She talks about love, the idea of loss, the passing of time. And I thought, since I did read out a poem before, I thought I would read out another poem. This is Feather from the anthology Dearly by Margaret Atwood. A high flyer once, as we all were, every life is a failure at the last hour, the hour of dried blood. But nothing we like to think is wasted. So I picked up one plume from the slaughter, sharpened and split the quill, hunted for ink and drew this poem with you, dead bird, with your spent flight, with your fading panic, with your eye spiraling down, with your night. I think it's such a good way of expressing that regardless of how many times you fail, you will always draw from that failure. You will always be inspired by that failure to write something new, to create something fresh. And this is definitely not something I'm very good at doing. I see failure as failure and as something to be upset about. And it's definitely a mind shift I do want to make. So it was an impactful poem to definitely read. Then it's an impactful poem to me right now as well. And that kind of brings us to the last anthology that I wanted to talk about. And it's another piece of work by Margaret Atwood. It's called The Circle Game. I was reading some of the poems in The Circle Game and I thought I would, you know, look up the book on Wikipedia. And that's when I realized that the book itself is named after the children's rhyme, Ringa Ringa Roses. So the circle game where the children go around in a circle. And you know what? I would never have made that connection until I read the poem, The Circle Game, in this book. And even then, like, I still had to Google it on Wikipedia to find it out. So reading Margaret Atwood's work and like reading other poetry definitely makes me wish that I could be back in ninth grade literature class where our teacher was helping us, like, you know, identify the themes and the tropes and, like, you know, how she would help guide us by helping us reread the key lines and it would help us unravel the story behind them. So I'll be very honest. I don't understand every poem or the intention that the poet has in those lines the first time I read it. And so that's definitely why I like engaging with poetry. It challenges me. It marks me and influences me in ways that prose can't, for the very reason that I have to keep rereading the words and keep re-engaging with them. And I know that understanding poetry will take me time, but this is time and effort that I'm really willing to put in, and I'm excited to put in as I read more poetry over time. So that kind of brings us to the end of my recommendations. And what better way to end this than a poem authored by yours truly? While my thoughts may be jumbled, my love for prose and poetry is clear. I appreciate my ancestors who committed their thoughts to pen and paper so that their descendants may find escape from a world of fear. That's all she wrote, ladies and gentlemen. Please don't hate me. I know it's short. I know it's probably not very impactful, but it's words I wrote myself. And that is a wrap on another edition of the Nano Bookcast. Please reach out and let me know if you have read any of the anthologies or if there's any ones that you would like to recommend that I pick up. This is especially a place where I please, I am looking for recommendations, so please send them to me. For links to all the anthologies I mentioned, you can go to nana.app/podcast-9. And as always, you can leave feedback by reaching out to me personally or via podcast@nana.app. Stay safe, everyone, and see you in October, the spooky month. Bye.